Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
So we'll just, you know, get right into it because we are recording, I believe. So welcome back to We Met at Acme. And we're just going to go down the line here and then maybe up the line and then down the line again. So we'll start with Joe.
All right, I'm Joe.
How old are you, Joe, and where are you from?
I am 33, and I'm from Chicago.
Nice. Anyone from Chicago? Wow, no one.
No one from Chicago.
I'm sorry.
Anybody 33?
No, no one's 33.
This is going to be a fun show.
And what about you, Kendall?
I am from Los Angeles, and I'm 27. I'm going to be turning 28 in August, August 17th.
Oh,
so
I was
coming up, guys.
That was one of my next questions, so it's good to know that you're a Leo.
Leo, I heard you're really into astrology.
Leo season, too. I'm into it. I'm into it. We'll have to get back and figure out Joe's sign in a bit. So, Emma, how old are you, and where are you from?
I'm 33, and I'm from Maine, and I got confused. I thought he said my name. That's why I came out.
I was like Emma, go.
Yeah. Well, you didn't go. You went go, and I went. I'm going. So yeah. we can split that. But yeah, so that's
it
what
works.
Happened. 33. Really rural Maine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What about you, Jasmine?
I am 28, and I'm from 2 hours from Chicago. It's like a cornfield, basically.
Nice. Nice. Love it.
Rapping.
And Joe, what do you do these days? What are you up to?
What do I do? It's a good question. I ask myself that every morning. I have a clothing line I started. It's called Frown Clothing. And we partnered with a charity called Smile Train. So I'm doing that. And other than that, I do some hosting gigs. I hosted a Family Feud tour. I did a Dancing with the Stars tour.
Very cool.
I hang out with my girlfriend, you know, and just, you know, Instagram and whatever, hang out.
Very cool. Yeah.
All the things.
What about you, Kendall?
I recently started a podcast called Down to Date. So I've been doing that. And then also hanging out with my boyfriend.
We have a really good time together.
Yeah. And then doing interviewing and hosting as well. So, you know. All the things.
Very cool. What about you, Emma?
I'm a comedian, and I tour doing that, and then some acting.
Cool.
Yeah. And I do radio. I have a podcast, too.
Cool. What's it called?
I've got one called Secret Keepers Club with Carly from Girl Code. She had the red hair in Girl Code.
Oh, yeah. She's so cute.
And, we have a podcast. And then I have one with Mateo Lane called Inside the Closet. Mateo was actually, he was also on Girl Code.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of comedians were on Girl Code and Guy Code for a
while. Mateo did Colbert, and him and I each did a Netflix 15 together. So I've got those two podcasts, too.
Very cool.
But I would say touring mostly.
Awesome. What about you, Jasmine?
I am talent at BuzzFeed. I also model with a clothing brand, ASOS, And I do just like influencer shit, you know, here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I feel you know the life.
Yeah.
So, Jasmine, we're going to start with you. What's your current relationship status?
I'm currently in a relationship. Yes, they're somewhere out there. I can't see. But yeah, we started dating in like October and then like waited a while to call it official. And then made that label in like February or March.
Yeah. Oh, so it's serious.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So serious.
It's so serious now. Why do you think you waited?
Honestly, because I've been fucked over quite a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of my own fault, a lot of other people taking advantage, and I'm just like a uplifting person. It's my job, literally. So yeah. I tend to do that in relationships, and then I don't value myself later. Yeah. So I was making sure I valued myself for mm-hmm. a few months mm-hmm. and then like got to it.
That sounds healthy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What about you, Emma?
I have a girlfriend. I haven't said that yet on my podcast, but next time we record, I'm going to.
When did you guys define things?
I think it was like a month ago, 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
During the retrograde.
You know, was it during retrograde?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Oh. Wait, what?
Wait, is that bad or good?
Well, maybe if you get into a relationship during retrograde, then it can like withstand anything.
I mean, that's the strongest,
anything.
I feel right, like. Yeah. Right.
But if you break up during retrograde, like, who knows what'll happen.
Yeah,
next.
We knew that. Yeah. That was all fine. But yeah. to get together during, right. that's pretty strong.
Right.
Strong like what?
Sorry, this isn't my podcast. Go off.
No, please.
Strong
please.
Like what?
Strong like good.
Oh, so I
yeah,
felt
strong good.
Good.
Strong yeah. good. Yeah.
I felt
yeah.
cosmically overwhelmed when I even brought it up.
Right. Well, that's a good thing. That's
yeah,
a good thing.
Because, yeah, we were in like a sexual situation and I was so overcome with being like, wow, like, ugh. And
oh, you asked...
Yeah.
During sex.
No, like pre.
Oh.
But ooh. Yeah.
It often leads to sex after.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that wasn't what I was like gunning for. I wasn't like.
Yeah, you wanted the sex.
But no, it was like a, you know, right. she wore lingerie and then oh. I was just overcome with
that'll
all these
it.
Feelings.
So
not
if
because
you want.
Of that, but it was like an exclamation point on top of the feelings. I said, we got to talk about being in a relationship.
Right, right. So yeah. clearly I feel like the message is if you want someone to define things, wear lingerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's already there, then that could prompt it more.
It's a bonus.
Yeah.
It could be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice gesture for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And Kendall and Joe, I feel like this would be a dumb question to ask you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's your current relationship status?
Straight up official.
Yeah, we're in one.
Nice.
We live together.
I would yeah. say probably for about a year now, though. We actually just figured out that our year anniversary is today.
Yeah.
What?
Congrats.
Well, because
yeah.
we have
oh
a lot
God,
of
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a lot of back and forth. You don't really know when our official anniversary is, but
yeah.
we kind of talked about it. We're like, I think we kind of decided it was official today in the midst of.
So yeah. are you going to celebrate? No, what were you going to say?
We met and we've been living together ever since. So it's like
yeah.
a normal relationship, you know?
Yeah, we started living together the day we met. So
why did you move in together right away? Is that because you were... I mean, you
well,
met...
Well, initially it was because yeah. he was on Dancing with the... Joe was on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
so they gave me an apartment here for three
right.
months. So then
I moved right in.
She moved in with me, and then we were just, you know, hanging out. And not hanging out, I mean, we were dating. But it was...
And other stuff, you know.
Hanging out, dating, you know. Sex, all the whole thing.
Oh, boy, they.
No, but it was, you know, we were just, you know, in the beginning of our relationship, we were having a really good time and we
yeah.
enjoyed living with each other, so it was easy. Mm-hmm. And after that, it just got more serious, and then we got a place together.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So. That's really cute. And what is your sign, Joe? When's your birthday?
I'm an April 12th.
Ooh,
so
you're an Aries.
I'm an Aries, yeah.
An Aries and a Leo. That's a really good match.
Is it?
Is it a good match?
Best friendship.
That's good. I do feel like we're best friends.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Yeah. Emma, what is your birthday?
My birthday. I don't know why I got so nervous. Also, that was like the most gangster response if you're in a relationship when you said straight up official.
Yeah.
You're in a relationship, oh, yeah. straight up official.
So you guys are in a relationship, obviously.
Yes.
You live
yes.
together.
Yeah.
How do you navigate
fights, because I mean, there's always, you know, in every relationship, there are ups and downs, well, there are ebbs and flows.
I mean, she's really intelligent, so it's hard getting in fights with her because I'm very stubborn and, you know,
hardcore.
Yeah, and I always think I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
As do I. So this and is obviously so does she, but usually
Kendall wins in the fights.
I think it's more so I'm the first person to admit I'm wrong. So I feel like if I admit I'm wrong before he admits I'm or says that I'm wrong, then in a way I'm kind of winning.
I see. So you're like the peacemaker, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just extremely honest and open right off the bat. I just kind of just lay it all out there and say exactly how I feel. I try not to have any confusion. I'm very, I don't want to say robotic, but I'm straight to the facts.
Mm-hmm. I just start making shit up. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. One time we were filming this cooking video, and we got in a huge fight and
while we were filming, so it was recorded.
I stormed out of the room. I'm like, this is, you know, whatever.
Wait, what was the fight about? Like, you cooked something wrong. It was burnt.
I think it was because he thought that I didn't think he knew what he was doing in the kitchen. Like, he was very offended.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm like, and we got in a huge fight. I'm like, let's watch the tape back, you know?
Of the fight.
Yeah.
I was like, let's watch the tape back. He's like, I don't have to watch the tape back because I know that I'm right. And we watched the tape back, and guess who was right?
She was. And I still, I'm like, how do you feel about that? And she's like, I was right. I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
So hands down, my favorite fight. It was recorded. So
yeah, maybe we should like all record our fights.
I know.
I would not win that game.
Well, you know, when you get in a fight and you end up forgetting like what you said, you're like, maybe I said that. Maybe I was being mean. But when you record it, that's completely, it's all transparent. You can see, you know, the truth.
For sure. So. Emma, you're in this newly official relationship. How do you navigate fights? Or is it so new that, you know, nothing has come up yet?
We haven't had a fight. But, you know, with fighting, I think this is, like, so politically not correct. But sometimes I think, like, the more feminine someone is, the better they are at arguing. Because, like, and that goes for, like, really flamboyant, like, little gay men, too. But, like, feminine women, like, they just get so much more. Like, I remember I was dating this one girl once, and... like, no offense to her, but, like, she wasn't, like, the sharpest crayon, whatever.
Right.
And that's, like, what an idiot I am that I'm making that analogy, and even I could be like, she's not that smart. But when we would start fighting, she would start using words that, like, I couldn't even believe. But it was only when we would get into arguments.
Like smart words.
Like smart words. Like smart words, yeah. But that happens a lot, I feel like, in time, like... I always think of myself as like the man one in a relationship, and then the women ones I always feel are constantly good at arguing. Like sometimes, like I was in a relationship with a therapist, and when we would argue, I would feel like it was just me trying to hang on for dear life,
right?
Off of, because I couldn't even understand what she was talking about, and it would just be like her going and going, and then I was just trying to like grasp at straws to see what, like to even what we were, you know, because sometimes you start arguing about one thing, and then 10 minutes later, it's like, and how come we never go scuba diving? And you're like, what? Like,
yeah.
So what I do in arguments, which isn't productive, and women don't like this at all. And they don't like this. It's not a good fight tactic. So I need to work on this. I started going to a therapist. But what I...
That's great, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank
congrats.
You. Appreciate that.
That's huge.
I had gone before, but then now I started re-going. But I used to be like, I'm sorry. I would be like, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. And you can say that one time if you mean it, maybe two times. But if you start doing it a bunch, girls really don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something I need to not. Because they would just like, they just keep going and going. And then I'd be like, you know, like, I'd be like, you know what? You're right. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm sorry. And then they'd be like, do you really mean that? Are you just saying that? Because things want to hear. I'm like, it's not what I think you want to hear. Like, I mean it. I'm sorry. And they'd be like, really? And I'm like, yep, you're right. I'm sorry. And they'd be like, I don't think you mean it. I'm like, I mean it. I mean it. And they'll be like, what were we fighting about? I'm like, what we were fighting about is what we were fighting about. And that you were right is you're right.
Yeah. So basically, you're right. I'm sorry. Is like, shut up.
Yeah, but if it's not sincere, then you've just made everything so much worse. Because it's like, oh, and then if they come out with this, you're not listening. Fuck.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't listening. How was I supposed to listen to that shit?
Yeah.
But that is, you know, my girlfriend now is like really like respectful and laid back.
Mm.
So
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. What about you, Jasmine?
We've gotten into some arguments, I like to call them.
Yeah. I mean, when Mercury was in retrograde or before that?
All.
Yeah.
All and everywhere. But this is definitely the first relationship that I've been in that it's, we communicate so well, even though it might not be like during the argument, but even like we'll take like a, even if it's like a day or a few hours or something, and then we'll circle back and like really talk things out and explain like, okay, this is how I was feeling. This is why I started acting like that because you were acting this. Like we go back and forth and really talk it out step by step. And it's, it feels great. Honestly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what is the scene like for like lesbians who live in LA? I don't know anything and I don't know what our audience knows. So
go on.
Yeah. I don't live in LA.
Oh, you don't?
No, oh, you don't.
Well,
no, I'm in New York and LA, but I mean, I'm like traveling. I mean, I can answer the question. I've been here enough to know that, but it's, you always do online dating.
Uh-huh.
But I don't go, so I'm out all the time for shows, so I don't like, I get social anxiety and like, especially in lesbian-centered areas.
Right.
Which stress there are none, out. So yeah. Congrats. Come to LA, because there's none.
But is that because it's like a more open space, like it's more accepting everywhere, so you can kind of be anywhere, or just...
It's mainly just like, there are like lesbian-centered nights to go to, but not like one distinct area. And if it is, it's not really like all of that anyways, right. You know? And it's, and then you get into like... Are there women of color there?
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's very, it's not the easiest.
Mm-hmm. But there is a big lesbian community.
Oh yeah, they're all at home with their significant others and their cats.
Right, I feel like it's super coupled off. But in general, literally, like all sexual orientations, everyone's in a couple in LA, I feel like.
Or everyone's just so thirsty and disgusting. It's just, one or the other.
It's one or the other, exactly. Where did you... Jasmine, where did you and your partner meet?
We met online.
Which dating?
We met actually on Instagram through a little page called Personals. Have you heard of this?
What?
My queer friend just did it. Yeah. I didn't understand it.
What is Personals?
Okay, so Personals, it's like an old school, you know how they had like newspapers and there would be like personal ads?
Yeah.
So it's like that, but it's an Instagram and you send something in, like you write something up and say what you're looking for. It could be friendship, you're traveling to this city, you're looking for a third, you're looking for a couple, whatever. It's all queer women based as well. And so you send it in and then they repost it and it's all text and you read it and you're like, ooh, is this person hot? I don't know. I only see words.
Right.
So then you like click on their page and you can comment, you can like DM them, you can do whatever.
Wait, that's so cool. So what do we follow if we want to see these personals?
Well, I mean, it is queer women.
So you can't know straight people?
I mean, no, they do follow, but I'm just letting you know ahead of time.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's like _ personals. _
Yeah, that's really...
Personals?
That's like genius.
Yeah.
It is genius.
So you met on the personals. So you were on the personals or they were on the personals?
They were. I saw it.
You slid into the DMs.
No. I don't do that.
Uh-huh.
I commented on their post, hi. Uh-huh. And then they came to my DMs. You know, smart. You just gotta throw the little reel.
Exactly, and then you, and that's all you gotta do.
That's
then you
all.
Back off, and you wait.
Look at me now.
Uh-huh. Love it, Emma. How did you and your partner meet?
Hi. That's a good, one. I did it on. You're not supposed to say the name of it, but it rhymes with Baya.
Raya.
Yeah.
Raya.
Raya.
How do you pronounce that?
I don't know exactly. I've been on, I always do online, but I think just because it's, I don't like going out to stuff either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know why I like you? Because you're a good listener. And being a good listener makes you smarter and it makes you more connected. And I feel like if you're someone who listens to podcasts, you are by default a good listener, and that's really important. Honestly, because you're a good listener to podcasts, I feel like it's just a natural transition that you'd be really good at listening to books as well, to audiobooks specifically. I personally have made the transition and have started listening to Audible. And one of the books that I finished for my book club a few months ago when I was listening to it on Audible is Where the Crawdads Sing. I loved the book. It has a murder. I'm not going to say what happens, but if you know me, you know I love murder mysteries. And because I'm a member of Audible, I get to choose three different titles every month, which is great because there are no good songs out there anymore. And I'm just into books, like audiobooks and podcasts. And there's Audible Originals, so you can't hear them anywhere else but Audible. I personally love Audible, and I've had such a great experience that I want to give you an experience that I've had. So start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. You get your first audiobook plus two Audible Originals for free. So all you have to do is go to audible.com/acme or text acme to 500-500. So just audible.com/acme or text acme to 500-500 now. And I think you're going to really, really enjoy it. So let me know what you think. Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with Julianne, aka Jewel the Bee.
Hi.
Hi. I have heard so much about you, and I can't believe we're finally here on my couch.
Sitting together.
Thank you so much for coming in, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
I heard you live in the suburbs.
I live in the woods.
In the woods.
The suburbs are completely metropolis compared to where I live.
So where is that?
That would be in Pound Ridge, New York, just about 45 minutes or 2.5 hours, give or take the traffic, outside of the city in the woods of Westchester.
Love it.
Yeah.
And where did you grow up? And also, I have to ask, how old are you? Because that's how we start the podcast.
Lindsay.
Even though you look so young, so it doesn't matter, whatever
so
you
lovely.
Say.
I am 46 years old, born in Atlanta, raised in New Jersey, and then spent some time in the city after college and then headed out to the woods.
Love
Been in the woods, I don't know, for about 15 years now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have so much I want to talk about, but we'll start with what is Jewel the Bee? Like, what is the nickname? Where did it come from?
Jewel the Bee has been in existence for way longer than this whole 2-year kind of Jewel the Bee evolution with Instagram and this new website. Jewel the Bee came from my maiden name, Berkowitz, and my girlfriends in college teasing me about being like a little buzzing bee, just kind of never stopping. And, you know, it was my first email account on AOL, and it just kind of stuck.
That's
I've
really
just
cute.
Always been Jewel the Bee.
That's great. And
not that interesting.
No, it is.
But part of my...
it's like a lifelong nickname.
It's a lifelong nickname.
And I heard, because I was just listening to your episode with Julie on hashtag No Filter, who is with us today in the
my
studio.
My security blanket.
Yeah, aka my apartment. And so kindly brought some wine to...
Amen.
To, you know, relieve some nerves, which is really kind, even though I can't drink it because I will die.
Because we will kill you.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so I heard that your husband has a nickname as well.
He does have, it's just so funny how, you know, I've always been Jewel the Bee and Barry has been Bazza for so long, but to like, for people to kind of be discovering us now, it's just hilarious to me. Baz is the Australian nickname for Barry. And when we were first dating, very dear Aussie friends of ours just started calling him Bazza. So that's how Bazza came to
I
be.
I love the nickname Bazza.
I do too. I love it.
I feel like every couple that I love has nicknames
is
for
that
each
right?
other. Yeah.
Okay.
Like it just makes it cuter and makes
it does
it,
make it cuter and
yeah.
it's so much fun when I get really angry with him and you know, just yelling Bazza instead of Barry.
And so our podcast is primarily a dating podcast. So we're gonna talk a little bit about dating and marriage and all that good
stuff. I'm gonna
stuff.
Learn a lot, I think, Lindsay.
No, I feel like I'm gonna learn a lot.
I don't know about that.
but we also love astrology on the podcast.
I heard
And
about
I would be
that.
Lying if I said I didn't already know your sign.
Okay. But do I fit my sign? Because
like,
I've
not
heard,
100%.
Right? That's what
yeah,
I keep
not 100%.
Hearing.
So Jewel is a Pisces.
Yeah.
And I know that because on the episode of Hashtag No Filter that I listened to, it was your birthday when
it
the
was.
Episode came out. And so then I was like, I have to look at the, what the date is. And I think it was March 16th.
And I hear I do not fit the Pisces profile, but I don't really understand the Pisces profile. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can
Well, I
educate
think
me.
That it's more of like the entire chart, right? So it's not just like you're Pisces, but you also, based on the time you're born, you have like a rising sign and a moon sign and a Venus sign and all that stuff. But I think that I personally know a lot of Pisces who are really funny and really like outgoing.
Okay.
But I think that it's either one or the other, like either really funny and outgoing or like more withdrawn and like dreamy and like in their own world.
I think I am a total mix of those two
right.
things. And people don't realize that about me. I am completely, what is it? An introverted extrovert.
Yeah.
Which is why I live in the woods of Westchester.
Right.
That's why we wound up there.
Yeah.
And like I'm very good being on my own and sort of being in my own head and, you know, having the camera turned on me alone in my kitchen.
Right.
I'm very, so I think I'm probably more that
so it
in
was,
some ways.
It was your choice to move to the woods or was it
It
mutual?
Was my suggestion.
Uh-huh.
We were just dating. Barry and I were just dating. And I had sort of had enough of the city. I had been married there. I had gotten divorced there. Mm-hmm. My apartment had just sold. And I was sort of like, I knew that the next step was going to be the whole baby thing. And I was just ready.
Right.
And I tend to go pretty drastic.
Mm-hmm.
There's not usually like a Scarsdale in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned you were married, which I want to talk about.
Okay.
When did you meet your first husband and like how long were you together before you were married?
I met my first husband when I was a fetus, when I was 19 years old. And
so
we,
in college?
Yeah, it was my first, I guess my first year of college. His sister, a very dear friend of mine, his sister fixed us up.
Where were you guys in college?
I was at the University of Maryland,
mm-hmm.
and he had already graduated from Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like sort of adulting, and I was just starting. And it got, you know, very serious very quickly, but then sort of, you know, went on for years and years and years because I was so young and because he was really like a child trapped in a, well, sort of a childlike man body.
Mm-hmm.
And we dated for, I guess we were together for 12 years and married for about 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, and I have to ask, when
sure.
was his birthday?
He is May 23rd.
So he's technically a Gemini.
He's a Gemini.
And your, and Baz is what?
Baz is October 4th. Baz is.
Oh, he's a Libra.
He's such a Libra.
Oh my God.
He's
so I'm a Libra.
Yeah, like lovely and,
everyone, and
balanced. And
so your husband's a Libra and I'm a Libra.
Okay.
And most of the time Libras are great. So that's awesome. And Libra Pisces, they really understand each other because they're very like sweet souls and sometimes people pleasers. And so, you know, there's a connection there for sure. But going back to your first marriage for a second.
Okay.
So you were married at 26, you said.
I was
right?
married. Yeah, I was married, I think, at 26.
And then you got a divorce.
By 30, 31.
By 30, 31.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have some friends who are in a similar position right now. And I wonder what, if you have any advice for people to, you know, move on or, you know, like breakup advice, essentially, when it's something as serious as like,
marriage.
A marriage.
Yeah. I think, look, I was very fortunate in that, you know, we didn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, it wasn't easy at the time. And I've never been so thin and I've never been so strung out and stressed out. But looking back, you know, it was relatively easy and clean. And he's a good guy. And we just kind of, you know, reached a fork in the road where he was like, you know, I don't know if I want X. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want Y. And mm-hmm. it was, you know, it was easy.
Mm-hmm. Getting skinny is the best part of breakups.
Getting skinny is so good. The divorce diet is...
The breakup diet in general.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have like a piece of bread and butter and one piece of Swiss cheese for like 3 days.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But like, it's just, it's mental. It's like all mental. It's not like... You know, like no one's doing that on purpose. Actually, I remember
I was in nerves.
Totally. I was in high school. I had a high school sweetheart for 3 years and he cheated on me our senior year of high school. You had the same thing? Oh my God.
Yeah, that was another good skinny period. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like couldn't eat because I was so, every time I would eat, I would think of him cheating on me.
I say to Baz all the time, just threaten to divorce me.
Totally.
Like just pretend.
Oh my God.
Like come home and literally. Just be like, I'm having an affair. Can I have it? Can, you know, like we need
Same.
To get divorced.
Anything.
Right.
Anything.
I'll drop 10 pounds in 14 days.
I tell my boyfriend
days.
All the time. I'm like, can we just have like a really emotionally wrecking fight?
Right?
But it doesn't happen. But when
you
this happened
get into
to
character.
Me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when this happened to me, my senior year, I like couldn't really eat. And my friends had never been in a relationship like this.
Right.
And they just didn't get it. Like they sat me down and they're like, we think you're anorexic.
Right, we're worried about
and,
you.
Yeah. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, you guys have never been through like what I've been through. And now everyone gets it. You know what I mean? Because everyone's like been through
of
it.
Of course.
But I now was like so pissed. I was like, I can't believe you guys think I would like willingly
Oh no,
not
I want
eat.
Somebody to say that to me. I want one person to say to me, we're a little worried
no,
about you. We think
me
you have
too.
An eating disorder.
Me too.
No, nobody, nobody has ever said that to me.
At the time, I was like so pissed because I was like, fuck you guys. I love food. So
I love food. I just can't swallow right now.
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
Because my
that's
heart
exactly
is in my
what
throat.
It is.
I know.
100%.
But you got to keep on moving. That's
you got to keep moving.
That's my advice.
You got to keep moving.
And you know when it's wrong and you know when it's time to get out.
You do. Well, do you? How do you know?
I think you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think women know.
Because I heard that you said on hashtag no filter. Wow, so many shout outs. I heard that you said that when you tell your parents about the fight is when like you're ready to get out. But like some people tell their parents like too much.
That's so true. My parents, you know, Mike so far, and I still, you know, sort of have little ones, you know, one's turning 11 tomorrow mm-hmm. and the other one's turning 13 in August. So I tell myself that they're still sort of little, but I have like a real friendship with my kids. I didn't have that with my parents. And I don't know if that was like my generation or just who my parents were. But when you told my parents something, they were going to fucking hold you accountable.
Right.
And your hand was going to be held to the fire until you dealt with it.
Mm.
And I remember making the decision. I called my dad and said, can you have dinner with me tonight? I need to ask you for your advice. And I knew that once I went down that road, that was going to be, I knew what he was going to say. And I knew that I was going to take what he had to contribute very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So other than getting your parents involved, if you know they're going to hold you accountable, what are some other signs that like the relationship is not serving you anymore?
Oh God, I think the pit in your stomach is always the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when you feel light, when you wake up in the morning, you know when your shoulders are heavy. You know when you've got a pit in your stomach the size of Texas. You know when something doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose to ignore that, you're kind of a dumbass.
Right.
Because it's going to come back and bite you.
But what's the difference between that and like now if you have, let's say like, because it ebbs and flows,
totally.
Like with Baz, for example.
Oh my God, 100%.
I don't know what it's like for you guys, but let's say that Baz like was not loving his career or something,
which
and
has
like
happened.
Was feeling down on himself, mm-hmm. right? Like, what's the difference between a moment where like a partner is depressed or like going through something versus like this is not my person? Like, how can you tell the difference?
I could tell the difference because I knew, and I think that I have a tremendous amount of faith in Baz's ability to be a grown up.
Mm-hmm.
In my first marriage, as much as and I really do still love him. Like, I really do have such a soft spot for him. And, you know, he was really like maybe my second love. But he was really like those formative years of really a solid relationship and your first kind of grown-up relationship. I have really good memories and really good feelings of that time. But I always was wearing the cheerleader uniform and not in like a sexy kind of way. I was holding like the pom-poms. I was the grown-up. I was the cheerleader. I was the one like, oh my God, I hope he's going to fucking figure this out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do that after a period of time.
Right.
And I don't feel that way with Barry. When I wake up in the morning, I feel like I'm with a grown-up who's got his shit together. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to me because I kind of have my shit together.
Right.
A fair amount of the time, yeah. I do. I didn't want to be the parent in the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wanted my own babies.
That's really important. Can we just talk about how hilarious Jewel the Bee is for 1 second? She is just as funny in real life, and now we're Instagram friends, and I'm obsessed with her. Anyway, I just wanted to remind you guys that we've got two incredible shows coming up. We've got Philly September 3rd. If you haven't already gotten your tickets, get them now. Go to wemetatacme.com/tour. It's going to be a hilarious show. One of my college friends, who's actually a polygamist at the moment, after being in like a 10-year relationship, is one of the guests. He's fucking hilarious. And we've got Boston, actually another college person. My college roommate will be one of the guests and two really hot guys and a comedian. You can't go wrong. So if you're in Philly or Boston, go to wemetatacme.com/tour now. All right, back to the episode. Before you were married at all, you were you still are a career woman, but you were...
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
You were like working with celebrities.
I was.
And I heard a rumor that one of them was Gwyneth Paltrow.
That rumor is true.
So what was that like?
I am so lucky to sit here and truly say to you that I worked for the best of the best. I think I was in it for like, I don't know, all in close to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was amazing. Michael and Catherine were amazing. Douglas and Zeta Jones.
Oh, casual, casual.
Sorry.
She's like Mikey and Katie.
Right. Mikey and Kat. You know, my first foray into being a celebrity personal assistant was with Marlo Thomas. And I'm still in touch with her.
Wait, who's Marlo Thomas?
Marlo Thomas is married to Phil Donahue.
Okay.
She was That Girl, which was like the television show of the 60s about the single, independent, you know, unmarried career girl. She was Mary Tyler Moore before Mary Tyler Moore was Mary Tyler
right.
Moore. And it was the craziest. I think I was with her for about 18 months. And it was like, and this was like before, this was way before Google.
Mm.
And this would be like on a Sunday night at 11 p.m., I would get a phone call saying, I'm leaving for L.A. tomorrow and I need you to find this bra in 12 different colors. Oh, and by the way, it was discontinued 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
And I would go into a fucking hot panic and have to rise to the occasion. And that was another time I was super skinny. It was a crazy, you know, it was my first celebrity personal assistant job. It was miserable much of the time. Sorry, Marlo, but you do know how to torture. And then it opened up this door.
Totally.
To Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones and then Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's
and
so
I thank
amazing.
Her
yeah.
from the bottom of my heart for teaching me to hustle and what real work ethic is and showing up and producing, because that's what I had to do for her. Holy shit, I have to produce.
I am so impressed with you because I tried to be a personal assistant once and I was very quickly fired.
That's because you belonged in the spotlight.
Well, it's just, it's so funny because I'm hearing about the discontinued bras that you've defined.
It was the Devil Wears Prada.
And yeah, no, literally.
Yeah, literally.
That's actually the Devil Wears Prada. I was in a situation that isn't nearly as stressful as that. And I still couldn't deliver. I worked for a guy who was in the music business.
Yeah.
And he was traveling to LA. This was years ago, before Miley Cyrus transitioned from Disney star
to pop star. Yep.
And he had a meeting with Miley Cyrus to represent her for her music transition.
Wow.
Which is like so big.
Yeah,
right?
Huge.
And
did you fuck it up for him, Lindsay?
So I totally fucked it up for him. I was in New York and he was in LA and I was managing his schedule from New York, but we were 3 weeks into the job.
Oh my God.
Had never been a personal assistant before, yeah. Straight out of college,
yeah.
And had no fucking clue what I was doing. Like everyone would always tell me over communicate, but I was still at the point where like I didn't want to be annoying, you
sure.
know? Like I didn't. Like,
fine
I was
line.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just a little confused about whether the meeting was at Soho House in LA or at this big music producer's office. Well, surprise, it was at the office of the producer and not at Soho House.
Yeah.
But I sent my boss to Soho House.
Oh, he must have been thrilled.
And he literally ripped me a new asshole.
Oh, yeah.
He had me escorted out of the office.
No.
Yeah.
But you could have done it. You just didn't want to do it. It wasn't your gig.
It wasn't my gig.
Yeah,
it wasn't my gig. It wasn't my time. Like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
It
wasn't that you couldn't do it. You didn't want to.
Yeah. I was done. I was done like having him hand me his credit card every day to go get the same salad.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like,
but
it's
see,
over.
And I never really was the go get my salad girl.
Right.
I sort of presented myself very differently.
For sure.
I might have been that a little bit with Marlo because I was a second desk personal assistant with Marlo. But by the time I moved on to working for Michael, I was never the, you know, go get our dry cleaning girl.
Right. So you have two sons.
I do.
Who are at camp right now.
Yes.
Where are they at camp?
They're at Tyler Hill.
Oh, really cute.
Yeah,
really
they left yesterday.
So
yeah.
I have two girls who are my family friends who are 8 and 10.
Okay.
How old are the boys?
The boys, so one turns 11 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Doodle.
Happy birthday.
And Madden turns 13 in August.
Really cute and great names.
Thank you.
Madden and what's the other?
Dexter.
Dexton.
Yes.
Very
cool. We didn't like Dexter. We loved Dex.
No, I'm supportive of that.
Thank you.
I had a camp boyfriend named Dexter who cheated on me.
Well, and when I was pregnant with Dexy,
yeah.
It was that whole serial killer show, Dexter,
right, yeah.
or whatever the
that
fuck
was
it
such
was called.
A good show.
It was good, but I couldn't give birth to a serial killer. Potentially,
that's
right?
Totally fair.
So we swapped out the TER for the TOL.
But anyway, so my girls, my family friends,
yeah.
One of them it's their first summer, and the other one is it's her second summer, and
yeah.
they're at Point of Pines.
Okay,
and I don't know. I have this feeling that maybe they'll meet the boys one day.
Maybe,
but anyway.
Make it happen, Lindsay.
So you have two boys, which is like so great. And I can only pray for two boys because my mom always tells me, like, you're going to get girls and you're going to have a taste of your own medicine, what you were like growing up. And I'm like, okay, you're probably right. But how do you make sure, and I know there's, you know, they're only 11 and 12, but how do you make sure that they're not going to be, you know, what people call today fuck boys.
So let's talk about what a fuck boy is.
Yeah.
Because I was watching your stories as I headed out of the woods into the big bad city.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at your stories going, oh my God, I am such a fucking nana. I don't know what a fuck boy or a fuck girl is. Is it somebody who hooks up a lot? Is it a manipulator?
No, it has nothing to do with sex, which is ironic.
Okay.
It's just someone who isn't interested in something with you seriously or like long term, but still like kind of leads you on.
So they're a manipulator. They're going to fuck with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
So I've never thought of my kids as potential fuckboys. Clearly I need to start.
Well, I mean, if they're your kids and your incredible mother, which it seems like
goodness.
You are,
I don't know
then,
that I am, but
then I'm sure they'll be fine. I think people
you know, I also think there's so many misconceptions about fuckboys. I think sometimes a boy is just not interested in you, and so a girl will call them that.
Right. Well, so here's the thing. I talk to my kids in a way, I have a dialogue with my kids thus far that I never had with my parents that's really important for me to have with them.
Like, you're like, you need to, you know, be nice to that kid, or like they're, you know, that kid's going through something.
You know, we talk, there is certainly the lessons to my kids about always leading with kindness. And I think Julie and I talked about on hashtag no filter, that, you know, in my house, since they were babies, really, truly like babies, we would talk about how kindness is not an option. Like, period, the end. You can't be a dick. You can't be a dick. And we're starting to talk about, you know, respect towards women and what that means and how a girl wants to be spoken to and treated. And Madden had like a little, you know, sort of girlfriend experience this this past school year, which proved to be, I don't remember navigating the stuff that he was navigating when I was 12, minefields of manipulation and social media, little bombs, you know, thrown out left, right, and center. But I think the mistake that parents or moms of boys make is putting these boys on this pedestal of my boy doesn't, you know, my boy is perfect. I mean, there is this truth, I think, of the mommy-son relationship is so delicious. It's so lovely. People talk about how boys love their mamas like nothing else. And I have found that to be true. My kids are so affectionate with me. They are walking, beating, delicious hearts when it comes to me. But it is also my job to make sure that they know they are far from perfect, and to basically like yank the rug out from underneath them every once in a while and keep it very real with them.
Yeah. I think that's really important.
I think so. I think it's why Baz is good. I don't think my mother-in-law ever made it easy for Barry to believe that he was God's gift.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's a massive mistake.
And I think that happens so often, especially when a woman has only one son.
Oh,
that's like a scary, a scary situation, because they like worship that, that boy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about being like a serial monogamist. I, you know, took from me from listening to your episodes with Julie that you haven't been single that much.
I wasn't single that much, but when I was, I really got it out of my system.
That's really important.
Yeah, I think so.
But I guess my question to you is like, do you have any, you know, for someone that finds themselves being in relationships all the time, or someone that, you know, wants to get married at 26, what is some like warning or advice or just like check this before you do that, that you can offer?
Oh my goodness. You know what? I don't know that I have really anything to offer there. I remember being 26 years old and really just feeling like very desperate to like lock it all down.
Right.
Everybody had their shiny big baubles, you know, on their engagement ring finger, and everybody was planning these Martha Stewart perfect weddings. And I get the desire to get out of the bar scene, to cuddle up on a couch, to be monogamous, to have your partner. I really do get it. I just wouldn't rush it at the expense of settling. And again, I think there's, you know, therein lies that inner voice, and you're the only one who knows if you're settling. No one else does. Your mother did. Well, maybe your mother does. My mother knew. Yeah. Oh my God, my mother totally knew. But I think you've got to be okay pushing through on your own. Get yourself some really good girlfriends. You know, get yourself your circle. It doesn't have to be the walk down the aisle.
Mm-hmm. And where did you meet Baz?
I met Baz on J-Date.
So I love that because I met my boyfriend on Hinge.
I love that.
I just wonder, like, what are your thoughts about meeting online? I mean, obviously they're positive.
Yeah, I think for us it was a very positive experience. I had, you know, essentially a year leading up to that where it wasn't always positive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of it too, because I think you recognize, or hopefully when the real deal presents itself,
right,
you recognize it as something valuable and not to be messed with. Mm-hmm. I messed with Barry for a bit. I was not over my marriage. I was not through the divorce. I was telling myself that I was, you know, totally recovered and ready to move on. And that was in part a lie.
Right.
And Barry really, really stuck by me and really, for whatever reason, was sort of unshakable.
Mm.
But I think you've got to go through the shitty dates and the going home and sobbing into your pillow,
yeah,
to recognize when it's really good.
Mm-hmm. You said something on Julie's podcast that I had to write down because it was so just like wise. And I was like, yes, I almost wanted to make it a poll question, but I wanted to meet you first. You said that you have to be in a state of yes to meet the right person.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? What is a state of yes?
I think a state of yes is literally and figuratively being in a place where, you know, I can remember being in my dermatologist's office and Dr. Ellen Gendler looking at me and saying, I've got somebody for you.
Uh-huh.
I want to fix you up. He's in Boston. And
right.
Me being like, in my head being like, fuck, ugh. And looking at her and going, great, give him my number.
Uh-huh.
It's not always feeling enthusiastic about right. saying yes,
mm-hmm.
but you push yourself to do it because you know what the end game is.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I decided to say yes to getting divorced, I knew what I wanted. At that point, I was 30 years old. I knew that I wanted to be married. I knew right. that I wanted to have kids. I knew that there was an entire life in front of me, and you don't get it by sitting in your apartment by yourself. And I basically made, I mean, I'm sure this is horrifying to all of the feminists out there listening to me, but I sort of made it my job to date.
How is that anti-feminist?
I don't think that it is, but I think a lot of women who are hiding behind being afraid say, that's bullshit. You don't need someone to be happy. You don't need to go. And that's fine. That's totally fine. I knew that I did want to be with someone. I knew that I wanted to be married. I knew that I wanted a partner, and I knew that I was pretty good at it.
Yeah. I don't think that's anti-feminist at all.
I don't either.
Because there are, you know.
But there are some angry, scared women out there that will hide behind the door of their apartment and sit by themselves on their couch.
Right.
And not go out and.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair to men and to women if they're into women. And I don't think it would be fair if men had that attitude towards women.
Totally agree.
Like if you are like a straight woman in and a gay woman, any yep. kind of woman,
yeah,
you know, you have every right to start a family. It doesn't make you any less of like a boss or
agreed.
A feminist.
Agreed.
Like if you want a family, Go
get it.
Go get a family. A family's not breaking into your apartment.
That's exactly right.
And being like,
nor
oh
is
God,
the guy.
Here we are. Nor is definitely
nor is the
not
guy.
The guy.
Right. Nor is the sperm bank, by the way.
Exactly.
You
got to
go make that happen too.
Exactly.
And I know a lot of women who have.
Right.
Who didn't want to wait around for
totally.
It. But that meant getting up off of the couch and or making a phone call at the very least and
right.
leaving the apartment and
yeah.
saying yes.
I love that. So my friend actually right now, my phone is blowing up because my best friend from college is at the courthouse at City
oh my
Hall
goodness.
And she's getting married.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov to Brit. What are your feelings on like, I don't know if that's considered an unconventional wedding or maybe that's like the opposite of unconventional and like the weddings
that,
that the Martha Stewart weddings are unconventional.
Anymore. Is there yeah. even a conventional wedding anymore?
No.
I don't think so.
Like what? What were your weddings like? And did you do it differently the second time around?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I had such a good dress the second time around. And as we know, I was so thin. So it was even
so
better.
Great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's fabulous to go to the courthouse and just go quietly, you know, button it up, whatever.
For sure.
And I think that's so sexy, by the way.
It is sexy. Do you think that, like, people who are getting married for a second time shouldn't be having just as big of a celebration?
You know,
shouldn't
it's
be
so
having
funny because like I didn't want a big wedding, the second wedding, and but it was Barry's first. And Barry is my mother-in-law's only son. And, you know, she wanted that for him. And I remember being on the phone with my future mother-in-law saying, you know, I think we'll just like slink into the rabbi's office. And, you know, I had this like vision of I'd wear like a really, you know, sexy kind of suit. And we'd just have like a quiet dinner somewhere in like a garden, a private, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. But anyway, and I remember her saying to me, but you're acting as if this isn't something to be celebrated. And she was so right. And we wound up, it wasn't a perfect night, by the way. The wedding was not a perfect night, but it was, we tried really hard to make it a perfect night. And it was beautiful and it deserved to be celebrated. And I love that we can, you know, look back on we've got the photo album and we've got the DVDs that are dusty in a drawer somewhere. But, you know, when I look at my kids who now know that mommy was married before.
Right.
And I'm glad that I have that big fat wedding album to show them, you know, to their daddy, and that I was wearing an awesome dress. And, you know, I'm glad that we had our version of that. Yeah.
So cute.
That's good.
And you have a huge, huge following now and like a very large amount of engagement on your posts, which Julie and I discussed, which is huge. And I guess my question to you is, and I know it's one of those, like, you have to talk about yourself in a positive way.
I'm cringing. But, I'm, like, sweating.
Like, why? I know. I hate these questions,
so
too.
Gross.
But it's, like, why? And I know why. Yeah. Like, I can answer it for you. But okay. I wonder in your thoughts, like, why, you know, why are people so interested in seeing what you have to say?
Oh, my goodness. There's been enough feedback now that it's no longer an answer that just swirls around my own head, because so many people reach out to me and write to me, which is the nicest, most delicious form of flattery, you know, to me on earth. I think that people feel like they can be friends with me. I think that's a big piece of it. I think that people know that I'm not going to bullshit them.
Right.
That if they ask me a question, I'm going to give them a direct answer, whether they want to hear it or not. I'll try and soften it, but I'm not going to just tell you what you want to hear. I think that, crazy enough, people really sort of dig how I'm mothering these monkeys and the marriage that Barry and I are, you know, are in partnership over. It's been the craziest Instagram ride that I never thought I was stepping onto. In a million years, when I started an Instagram account, whatever it was, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, I was just starting an Instagram account like anybody else starts an Instagram account. And it's sort of ballooned into this very connected, I hope authentic, dialogue.
Definitely.
But I do not have a big following. I have a big following compared to what I started with, but I am a, you know, I am a drop in the Instagram ocean.
No, you're definitely going to be able to do some swipe ups in just a few months. The swipe ups are coming.
If I can figure out how the fuck to make that work.
Exactly. The swipe ups are coming. So another thing that I heard you say on Julie's, and we only have time for like a few more, but I got to get this in because it was
okay.
So,
and then I'm going to take a nap in your room if that's
please,
okay. Good.
Of course.
Okay.
You said the key to a happy marriage is staying in the room.
Yeah.
And I loved that. It also reminded me of Hamilton for some reason.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, the song, like, I want to be in the room where.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So why? Why is that the key?
Because it's easy to walk out of the room and slam the door. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm so fucking good at that.
Same.
I'm so good at slamming the door. I'm so good at flouncing about and being the only female in that house, including Norman the dog. But
It's almost like a metaphor for like the room is the marriage.
The room is 100% the marriage. Now Barry's the one who flounces out of the door a lot of the time. And I'm like, you told me that I wasn't allowed to leave the room. Get your ass back here. But you have to, you've got to stay in the ugly bits and you've got to stay in the muck in order to get to the other side.
Right.
You know, you're not ever, I suppose, really on the other side, but a few days a week we get to the other side and we have a really good time together. And those, you know, that's the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go through the bad to get to the good.
You have to. You've got to kind of stand in the shit, right? To get to the other side.
It's true. If you're a woman, let's say mid-30s, and you're single, and you are given the choice of two men, one of which is 45, divorced with one kid.
I love this game. Okay,
and
wait.
The other one.
Your mid-30s, did you say?
Yeah, mid-30s.
Okay,
mid-30s.
Okay, one is 45.
Divorced with one kid.
Okay.
And one is 44, never been married.
Oh my God, it's a no-brainer.
Really? The divorce with one kid.
44. And well, no, if you had said 54, it would be a no-brainer.
Right.
I don't know that it's a no-brainer at 44. Mm-hmm. And I think it depends on the kid and the ex-wife also.
Yeah, of course.
Like, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. The kid is a little monster. You might want to hightail it to the 44-year-old. Yeah.
You know what? That makes me sad that, like, it's... But I guess it's a reflection on the parents, right? But if you're dating with a kid and the kid is a monster, then people are gone.
Well, you're just signing up for a whole different level of stress.
But do you think
and
that's
it's not
always...
really your it's really not yours because you're not, I mean, it's your stress, but there's someone else mothering that child.
But do you think it's always a reflection on you as a parent?
If your kid is a monster? Uh-huh. No, I think there are other factors. I mean, I think that there are you know, rotten to the core kids. I've seen that. Mm. I think that there are kids who, you know, where you might have a kid on the spectrum or you might have a kid with, you know, emotional issues. I think that, you know, so obviously that's, you know, there are a whole host of factors that come into play when it's a child. But when you're walking into a relationship and there's, you know, a four-year-old that really belongs to someone else and you're just sort of along for the ride, that better be a really solid relationship.
Yeah.
And by the way, I was that kid. So when my parents met, I haven't seen my biological father in a very long time, but when my mother met what is now my father, he adopted me, I was 5 years old. He was taking on, like, you know, the wounded animal on the side of the road. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But and he didn't have to deal with the biological father.
Well, I'm sure you were adorable and
I was.
Yeah.
And I had a southern accent.
Yeah, there you
What's
go.
What's cuter than that?
Nothing.
Right.
Did you have siblings or do you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother. I have a brother.
Cute. Yep. Older or younger?
Younger. 7 years younger.
Very cute.
Don't ask me how old that makes him. My math is really weak.
Yeah, no, so is mine.
Yeah.
Well, amazing. I can't believe we're already at an hour.
I hate that.
I hate that too.
But it was good.
Maybe we'll follow Julie's lead and do a part two and part three.
Yes.
But we usually end actually in a similar way with a quote or a piece of advice or a poem, like literally anything. I feel like you're definitely like in the poem world because you have young kids. But like, don't you have to read them poems for school?
You know, Shel
work?
Silverstein, every once in a while, I'll yank out of a dusty bookshelf.
It's my favorite.
The best.
One of the poems
right?
by him is my favorite poem, actually.
But don't ask me to recite one, especially after
really
a few swigs of Sauvignon Blanc.
It's really
Thank
hard.
You, Kim Crawford.
So your piece of advice, quote,
my
Shel
piece
Silverstein,
of advice, I think is what we were just talking about before. And, you know, as I put my kids on the bus yesterday, you know, for 7 weeks away without us, and as I look at, you know, my own summer, 7 weeks without them, I think it's what we were speaking about a few minutes ago, and that is just being in a state of saying yes. I think you'd be crazy not to say yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So everyone out there listening.
But use a condom.
Say
be
yes.
Be safe.
But
make
I have
good
a
choices.
Yeah. Say yes, but do you have a condom? Amazing. Oh, wait. And then two quick questions that I forgot to ask you. One is, how do you feel about friends with benefits? Do you know what that is?
Yes. Oh my God. Do you really think I'm that old? Yes, I totally believe in it. As long as like, yeah, I totally believe in it.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
Sorry, Baz. And
sex on a first date.
Why not?
I feel like there's a few reasons.
Do you?
Well, I think that if you're having sex on a first date, expecting it and hoping for it to be something, that's not great.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you that it can be something. It could even lead to marriage.
Oh my God. You guys had sex on the first date?
No, I think it was more like the second. Sorry, mother-in-law.
Oh, I mean, it's fine.
It's so good. When I opened up the refrigerator and there was only a bottle of Veuve Clicquot, I was like, I'm in.
Uh-huh. That's really cute. I mean, again, like my friend who's getting married today had sex on her first or second date too.
I don't think it fucking matters. Yeah. I think as long as everybody is having a good time and you're connecting beyond the bedroom, you have to connect beyond the bedroom.
Right.
If there's nothing to talk about
that's
after.
That's my worry is that like you've gone on a first date, you don't know enough about each other to like continue. You know, and guys are simple and dumb sometimes and like they need something to hold on to. So 100%. I agree with you if you're connecting, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're connecting. But look, if you're doing I'm not suggesting that you have sex on every first date.
But if you're doing it to have a connection.
Oh God, that's a whole different pathology. Mm-hmm. That's not at all what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But if the connection is there, if the chemistry is there, if you've had, you know, 4 hours of the best conversation that you haven't had in the longest time and you wind up in bed, holla fucking luya.
Right. I love it. Thank you so much, Jewel.
It was such a pleasure to be here.
Where can everyone follow you, find you, listen to you?
At Jewel the Bee and jewelthebee.com.
Okay. And it's spelled J-U-L-E.
T-H-E-B-E-E, like a buzzing bee.
Thank you so much,
Jewel.
Thank you,
Lindsay.
Okay, so I realized we're back recording even though we stopped because it's so important for
me to ask. You couldn't get enough of me.
I couldn't get enough of you and I need to know what's your opinion on therapy?
Yes, yes, and yes. I'm not in it currently. Mm-hmm. I probably should be.
Did you ever do it with your ex-husband?
I think we went to like 4 sessions.
Okay.
And she sort of looked at us and was like, it's over. Mm.
They know. They know right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we kind of knew when to call it quits. We tried.
Has Baz ever seen a therapist?
Oh my God, yeah. Baz is like all about
on his
therapy.
Own accord or?
Totally on his own accord. And like grew up
How
with a mom.
How did you get a unicorn?
He is a total unicorn.
Like my boyfriend would never go to therapy.
And because why?
And none of my friends' boyfriends or husbands or fiancés, whatever. Either.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, Baz has looked at me. There's been moments in our relationship where he's like, I'm calling a therapist tomorrow.
They think it's emasculating.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not
it's
at all.
It's really not. It's very empowering.
It's empowering.
Totally empowering. And you can, like, I feel like every time we leave a therapist's office, I always feel more connected to him. I always feel like the dust has kind of settled.
Totally.
And I just see everything that I always loved about him more so.
I agree.
Sometimes I hate him. But usually after therapy, I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Actually, you'll love this. You might have seen this because you're following me now, but I texted my boyfriend the other day. I have to pull it up. And I said, I love you and I'm so lucky to have such a great guy.
So nice.
And he said, lol, have you just been to therapy?
Barry would write, LOL, are you drunk?
Yeah, exactly.
Or who did you just sleep with? Are you feeling guilt?
That's so funny. Well, anyway, I just had to throw that in there.
I'm glad you did.
Okay. Hope everyone enjoyed the episode. Also get tickets to our upcoming shows. WeMetAtAcme.com/tour now. Oh, and follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/WeMetAtAcme. I always forget to do these little things, but I'm glad I remember now. Bye.